And boy, was she mad. And then she said, and you're only half Portuguese. The other half is Japanese. How come you don't tell Japanese jokes half the time? So, okay, there's this Japanese guy that... So I wrote a letter of apology back. And you know, I say, you know, it's not my heart to in any way offend anybody with the jokes. It's really to use humor because humor helps the defenses to drop down. When I speak, I try to make people laugh so that when they have their mouths open, I can put something in it for them to chew on.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. It happens to all of us from time to time. People make accusations against us that are false or distorted. But be encouraged. It happened to some of the greatest people in the Bible, including Jesus. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, When You Are Falsely Accused. But just before he speaks, please listen to this.
When you are falsely accused.
When you are falsely accused.
When you are falsely accused.
The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe thy precepts. Psalm 119:69.
Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. Psalm 38:12.
When you are falsely accused.
When you are falsely accused.
I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terrors on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life.
Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. Psalm 141.
When you are falsely accused.
But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, declares the Lord, Isaiah 54:17.
Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:10.
Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you, John 15:20.
When you are falsely,
accused.
When you are falsely accused.
For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:20.
When you are falsely accused.
Romans 8:38 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You ever been falsely accused? I think we all will be. And so this is something that we all need to take in. And it's not necessarily the false accusation, it's more the response that people will remember. I remember when I was in Hilo, I was eyewitness to an accident where a guy came out of a side street and rammed into this lady going perpendicular to him, smashed her door, spun her car around, landed in the ditch. He, of course, the front end was smashed, and he lands over on the other side. So I come to a stop, and I was going to dial 911, but we didn't have cell phones in those days. So you remember those days? Well, I stopped and I checked this guy, and he was a little dazed, but he was fine, and I was much more concerned about that lady. So I ran over there and the door was smashed in and jammed and the window was broken. She was kind of cleaning herself off from the safety glass and I said, "Are you okay?" And when she looked at me, I could tell she was madder than a hornet. She looked at me and she said, "What you doing? Bang my coffle." I said, "I didn't bang you." She said, "Yes, you did. You came right out of that side street and whacked me. You could have killed me." I said, "I'm just a passerby. I just wanted to see if you're okay." She said, "Don't lie to me. Don't act. Get me out of this car." She starts pushing on this door. And I said, "I didn't bang your car." She said, "I'll tell you who banged who. I'll tell you who banged who." And I said, "I'm not. I just want to make sure you're okay." She said, "I am okay. You just watch this. Watch this." And she's pushing on the door. And I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, let that door stay jammed." So I said, "Hold on, I'll be right back." And man, this lady was like demon possessed. I ran across the street and I saw this other guy and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "Okay, I'm gonna go call the police and they'll be right here. And by the way, that lady wants to talk with you." And I took off, I got out of there. Man, sometimes when you're trying to do well, you're just mistaken for someone and you're falsely accused. And you think, "Wow, what is this?" That'll happen all the time. It'll happen in large ways, small ways. You can be going down the freeway and you just change lanes and someone will pull up next to you and describe you in very colorful words and show you their IQ on their fingers and then speed off. And you think, "What did I do?" You know? And that'll happen all the time. And you just have to be, not if, but when those things happen, you have to be ready. I think the most vivid memory is when we went to Israel a couple of years ago And on the way back, we stopped in Switzerland. And one of the people we took with us was Dominic, who's a part of our staff. And Dominic was getting into trouble all the time because he just looks like a terrorist, you know? He's got more muscles than I have body. And at that time, he shaved his head and he had grown a beard. So he looked like Osama bin Laden on steroids. And so we get to Switzerland and you wonder, "Wow, how can anybody get these kind of muscles?" You know, I think, "Ah." But I did hear he ate a lot of fish out of the Alawai. So you can see how he looks like he looks. And then we got to Switzerland, and our guide, I guess, had kind of a shrill voice. So Dominic said, "I couldn't handle her voice." So every time she'd talk, he'd put on his headset so he wouldn't have to listen to her and listen to a CD, you know? So she's giving instructions, and he doesn't hear the instructions. The instructions were about how to ride the trams in and around Switzerland and how you have to buy a ticket, which is just a neutral ticket, and then you got to punch it with your destination so it sort of cancels it. So when they check it, you don't have this neutral ticket that you can just ride forever on. It says a timestamp, so you have the correct charge. And if you don't stamp it, you just get the ticket and you can kind of fake it and ride all day and later on punch it, you know? Well, you have to punch it when you buy it so it has your destination. Otherwise, they think you're trying to cheat the train company. Well, Dom didn't hear that, you know, because he had his earphones on. And so they decided to go shopping, Aaron, my son, and one of the sisters from New Hope, Karen, and they went shopping all day. They bought their tickets, didn't hear about the punch part, just bought it. Now he is illegal as a criminal with this ticket trying to ride the train all day for just a little bit. And so Dominic was wondering, how come they're not checking tickets? You know, I got my ticket, I bought the ticket. And so he's riding this train. Well, they go shopping, they get back on the tram, and when they did, the police got on as well. So he's sitting down with this illegal ticket. He's a thief and criminal, and not knowing it though, and the police get on and start checking tickets. Now, if they check Dominic's, then he's gonna be found out, and he's gonna have to pay this huge fine, $80 fine. But Dominic doesn't know this, so he takes out his ticket. "Hey, check my ticket. Finally, they go check tickets. You know, I think, "Oh, so check." So they come up to him and they check his ticket and they say, "You know, this is illegal. You know, this is a crime." He says, "What? I bought the ticket." "No, you didn't punch it." He says, "Well, where's the machine? I'll go punch it right now." And they stand in his way. No, you're already illegal. You got to pay the fine. "Where are you from?" "I'm from Hawaii. I'm going back home. Let me see your passport." They look at the passport. And they put his passport away and they hold on to it. And Dominic says, "Give me back my passport." Said, "Nope, not until you pay the fine." "I don't have the $80, sorry. I'm not gonna stay in Switzerland forever." "Nope, sorry." And so he says, "Give me back my passport." "No, I'm not gonna give it back." "You give it back." Now Aaron is sitting there and Dominic says, "Here, hold my bags. I won't give him one more chance to give me back my passport." Aaron said, "Dad, I got off the train right then, man. I just took off." It's like showdown at OK Corral. Everybody scrambled, you know. So finally, Karen loaned him the money, and he paid the fine right there. So when he came back late to where we were waiting for him to get on the bus, he shares this story, and we're rolling with laughter. You know, and if you're the victim of that, it's no fun. But later on, it's hilarious, you know. But I've never seen anybody so happy to get back to the USA. He says, I don't like Switzerland. I don't like those police over here. So he finally gets back to the US, and you know how you get in the customs line and it says US citizens, and oh, Dominic was so excited. He said, I got my passport. I'm home, you know. And so they said, next. So Dominic crosses over that yellow line. He is holding the coat of somebody. And so he says, here, hold this coat. And just then, custom officials just come onto him. Boom. What's in the coat? Why'd you throw it back across the line? You can't cross the line and throw stuff back. Let me see that coat. They search the coat for drugs. They're thinking, what do you got here? You know, contraband. Dom says, hey. He says, where are you from? Hawaii. Let me see your passport. They grab his passport. Oh, no, not again. They detain him, question him. Oh, it was just the most hilarious. And we're just in the back just laughing. They got Osama again. You know, it was great. After they released him from prison, we brought him on staff. You ever been falsely accused? We all will be. You'll get it in all kinds of venues. But God's going to use that stuff. He's going to use it to build us. Sometimes we want the potter's hands to be nice and soft when he molds us and fashions us into his image. But sometimes God's going to use the sharp corners of relationship, of those in authority saying something that doesn't quite fit for us. He's going to use the blunt words of someone who's a bit insensitive, with which he will use to develop your heart and your life. And sometimes it's going to come through an accusation that's not true. You're going to get it through words, actions, even letters. There's some people that get fan mail, some people get love letters. I have a file that's called my dead letter file, where I have had letters over the last 10 years or so pastoring here in Hawaii, where people have written me letters of condemnation, some saying, you better leave the islands. Another said, if you don't change, God's going to destroy New Hope and get rid of it by June. That was in 10 years ago, and it's still going fine. There's people who are telling me how to dress, how to change, how not to tell jokes, and I have this file of them. And it's just, you just have to deal with it. The first 5, 10, 15, 20, it's really tough. But after a while, it's just funny. And I thought, I'll bring you the file. You want to see the file? So if you get one or two or three or five letters, rejoice. And here's a few of them, not all of them. I had a couple of suits against me that I didn't bring, but here's, these are the letters that I got in the last decade of people that just don't like moi. And I mean, it's all kinds of stuff, you know? I use these for our Bible college. I take off the names and then have them learn to reply to, if you get a letter like that, a letter of criticism, how are you going to reply? So I take off the names, and especially my wife Anna's, I cross that out so they can't tell, and then I let them respond. But one lady was mad because of my jokes, and she just wrote the most fiery letter. And I think I talked about, you know, this joke about Portuguese and underwear or something, and she said, how dare you call us dirty people? We are clean people. We are good people. You know, and on and on. I thought, whoa. And at the end, you know, she writes all these things that I need to stop this kind of stuff. And the only thing I could think of was a joke I told about three guys that were going to college, and it was a Japanese guy and a Hawaiian guy and a Portuguese guy, and the Japanese guy was going to college, so he bought 5 BBDs and put it on the, you know, counter, and the clerk says, 5 BBDs, that's right. He said, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I clean, man, I clean. So, oh, great. Well, the Hawaiian guy wouldn't be outdone, so he brings 7 BBDs and throws them down. Clerk says, wow, 7, that's right, not only Monday through Friday, but Saturday, Sunday, you gotta be clean. The Portuguese guy brings 12. And the clerk says, whoa, what's this? Ah, January, February, March, April. That's the only one I could think of. And boy, was she mad. And then she said, and you're only half Portuguese, the other half is Japanese. How come you don't tell Japanese jokes half the time? So, okay, there's this Japanese guy. But you know, I have to answer these. So I take all of these letters and I actually lay them before the Lord. And, you know, and so if it offends them, you know, I apologize. So I wrote a letter of apology back. And, you know, I say, you know, it's not my heart to in any way offend anybody with the jokes. It's really to use humor, because humor helps the defenses to drop down. And I say it this way. When I speak, I try to make people laugh so that when they have their mouths open, I can put something in it for them to chew on. But I don't want to offend you in any way. And I apologize. And so, you know, do these things hurt when you get hit like that? Yeah, it does. Yeah, you struggle with it a little bit. But one of the things the Lord reminds us is this. In fact, even if you try to do well, you're trying to help people, you're trying to communicate, you're going to get hit. And we find in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, all those who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're going to have them. And Proverbs 9:15 says this, talking about the woman of folly that's a temptress. It says that she goes after those who are making their way straight. If you're trying your best to serve the Lord, you'll get hit. So what are some of the principles out of Scripture that'll help us navigate through these cross currents in this world that's so litigious and so ready to place blame on people? How do you navigate? Let me give you three principles, and would you write them down? Number one is this. Realize that mistakes and accusations are inevitable. Mistakes and accusations are inevitable. They will happen. You'll make mistakes and you'll get accused. No one's going to be perfect. Sometimes, in order to not be accused falsely, we sort of back off and not get involved, and we just sort of stay in neutral. Or you might not get accused, but you never make an impact either. And God is saying, go for it. But realize that mistakes and accusations are inevitable. That happened with Joseph. Joseph was falsely accused by his brothers, thrown into a cistern to die. Then they change their mind, let's get money from him instead. And then they betray him to a slave trader group, sell him as a slave. He goes into Egypt, probably walking all of those miles on the hot sand. He finally arrives. He gets a job as a servant in Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar has a wife that kind of digs on Joseph. And though it's wrong, she starts to tempt him, puts on her false eyelash and says, Joseph. And Joseph says, no. She wants him to lay with her, and he says no. She grabs him, almost forces him. He leaves his coat and takes off, and then she falsely accuses him to Potiphar, and then Potiphar then falsely throws him into prison. Again and again, let's read what it says in Genesis 39. Ready? Go. Now it came about, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him in jail. You see, mistakes and accusations are going to be inevitable. The question is, how are you going to respond to it, though? And in Joseph's life, we find not only about false accusations, we find out about how to respond when falsely accused. And his life gives us a great example to follow. And that's why God takes these and puts them in the Bible, so that we, years later, can take example from it. One of the things, though, will help us is this. Instead of starting to respond to false accusations after they happen, the best recourse is this, to start before they happen and build a track record. In fact, would you write in the first bullet, build your testimony before the accusation rather than try to defend it just after. And the way to deal with false accusations is not responding to it when it happens, but responding to it before it happens. Because it's not if, it's going to be when. And so you begin now. That's why it's so important for us to learn how to live a life of integrity. In Psalm 26 and verse 1, take a look with me as we read this together, but take a look and see how the verbs are in the past tense, and that this kind of lifestyle had been taking place in David's life, and so the Lord was able to vindicate him. Let's read it together. Go. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. And the next one, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. You see, God's saying that the greatest recourse against false accusation is a good testimony, a consistent track record. And it starts now. Because if it's a spotty track record and there's a false accusation, even if it's false, people are going to question you. And they'll give credence to that accusation, even if it's false, because there's a spotty track record. But if you have built a good testimony and there's a false accusation, people are going to say, wait a minute, we're not going to take one incident that someone said and discard his whole life or whole life of integrity. No, I think we'll keep this and discard the accusation. And so God is saying the way you deal with accusation is not after. The initial step is before. You know, they called Jesus a wine bibber, and they called him someone who frequented prostitutes. And you think when they called Jesus a wine bibber and someone who went after prostitutes, when they accused him of that, do you think Jesus went home all night and said, oh, just in anxiety, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. They called me a wine bibber. Do you think it really bothered him? Do you think he lost a whole bunch of sleep? Probably not. You know why he didn't wring his hands in anxiety and fear and concern? Because he wasn't a wine bibber. He didn't go after prostitutes. You see, his track record gave him confidence to deal with the false accusations. Oh, it may not take the pain away, but it sure helps you with confidence during it. I remember in Hilo, I got a call. When I answered it, it was a guy that I knew, and he said, Pastor Wayne, we need to meet right away. I said, okay, what's it about? He said, it's about your future, and this is very urgent. I said, like what? He said, just we need to meet. We need to meet bad. And it may just have to do with just determining your whole ministry. I said, really? Who in the world is this? Really? That's right. We got to meet right away. I said, okay, my people will meet your people. So I said, no, this is really serious. I said, okay, where do you want to meet? McDonald's. Said, okay, that's a real good place. Real good place. Very private. So I meet him at McDonald's. And he's already waiting for me, and I slide in the booth across from him, and he's talking to me, and he's looking around like this. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you came. And I said, okay, tell me what's about. He said, hey. He said, I got a guy that said he's got some pictures of you with another lady in bed. I said, oh, good night. You brought me all the way down here to tell me that. I said, yeah, that doesn't even worry me. Tell him to put it in the newspaper so I can see it too. And I said, gosh. And so I said, hey, knock it off. That don't bother me at all. What do you mean? It doesn't bother you. It would bother me. I said, well, yeah, it don't bother me. Why? Because it ain't me. And so that was the end of the conversation. But you see, it doesn't bother me because there's a track record. What if he said, we got some pictures. And if I said, oh, how many does he have? Was it the one 2 years ago or last year? Which one? It's like no big deal. See, that's why the Lord says you keep a good conscience on the things that they slander. You don't have to worry about it because your heart condemns you not. And that's why, as David said often, search me, O God, and know my heart, which means keep your conscience clean. Repent often, whatever you need to do to make sure that you keep a clean track record. If you got to repent every day, repent every day. That's why the Lord says, if you confess your sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Don't hide them. Don't keep them under the bed. Don't keep them hidden in the closet. No, get it clean. Just get it clean. His name is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. He's the one that wrote the Sherlock Holmes mysteries. And he was quite a practical joker. And story goes where he just wanted to play a practical joke on some politicians in office because they were pretty corrupt. And so he sends out about 7 of these special delivery telegrams. And every single telegram is the same words, the same message. It's very short. And he just sends them out to all of them. And it said this. All has been discovered, flee at once. That's it. And he sent them all out. Within 24 hours, all but one had left the country on an extended vacation. Isn't that something?
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, When You Are Falsely Accused, by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Well, we don't mean that Pastor Wayne Cordero is the one who falsely accused you. We mean that when you're falsely accused by Pastor Wayne Cordero, you get it.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. It can be the GPS that will help you find your way from where you are to where you dream of being. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. Thank you for your support as we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Be sure to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. Until then, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.